Turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And we'll read the passage this morning, and then we'll get to the title of the message. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 and 6. And if you've been in church for any length of time, you know what this is about. This is about the molten calf or the golden calf. And so in our text it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is becoming. We don't know where he is. He might be dead. He might have run away. We just don't know where he is anymore. It's been a long time. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron." And this word all means everybody got involved. Everybody did what Aaron said to do. "And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Boy, how soon can we forget God? "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the who? To the Lord." And we know that all capital Lord means Jehovah. And so it's four consonants. "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." You know, if you are any sort of spiritual person and you're reading God's Word, you ask yourself this question: how could this happen? And that's the title of my sermon this morning. How could this happen? See, when you go back to the first part of Exodus and you read all the way up to this point, you see God everywhere. And you see that God has delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. And all through the Bible and through the New Testament talks about that Egypt represents sin's bondage on mankind. God releases us from sin's bondage. God took them and delivered them from Egypt. God's brought them out in the wilderness. And how could this possibly happen, that they would want to go back to the Egyptian gods, when God put plagues on all the Egyptian gods when he was trying to get Pharaoh to let his people go? How could this possibly happen? How could they do this thing when God was providing their physical needs? They ran out of food pretty quick. They ran out of water pretty quick. And God showed them trees to make the water sweet. He showed rocks that you could get water out of. When they ran out of food, they said, "We're going to starve out here." All of a sudden, this stuff called manna shows up in the morning. And at night, there were quails at night. And God was supplying all their needs. Oh, and by the way, during this time, He was still supplying their needs. They were still getting the manna in the morning. They were still getting the quails. They still had water to do. How could they possibly turn their back on God and do this? How could they do this? How could this happen when God had led them to victory over the Amalekites. See, they're at the foothill, they're at the base of Mount Sinai right now. And along the way down to Mount Sinai, they came to a place called Rephidim. And they met this people called the Amalekites. And they were a great people and a great army, and there was a great battle, and God gave them the victory because as long as Moses held up the rod of God, they prevailed. And then Moses got tired, and Aaron and Hur came alongside, and Moses sat down on a stone, and Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. And they held him up until they had a victory. How could someone, how could a people that God had just read a great victory in their lives do something like this? How could this happen when God's presence was visibly seen? They get up to the Red Sea and now they're trapped. The Egyptian army's coming, and God prevents, comes down as a cloud of fire, pillar of fire, and stands between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And then the Red Sea parts. And then the Israelites go across dry land. And then the cloud, the pillar departs. And the Egyptians follow them and they get drowned in the sea. And then everywhere they're going in the wilderness, there's the cloud of pillar of smoke by day and the cloud and the pillar of fire by night. And they're being led from place to place. And they're finding provision and all this stuff. And now they're doing this. How could this happen? Moses is up on Mount Sinai. Oh, by the way, Mount Sinai was a smoke and on fire. And they'd already seen, the elders had already seen God. They'd seen Him. How could this happen when Moses is out on Mount Sinai, not only getting the law, but getting the blueprint for the tabernacle? Getting the procedures and the process for worship and for sacrifice. And God's man who's led them out of Egypt's up there getting the word of God. And he said, we don't know where he is. Yeah, they know where he is. He's up on the mountain where God is. So how could this happen? Well, that's all Old Testament. It doesn't happen today. It does happen today, folks. How can people who have received deliverance from sin's bondage through the salvation of Christ turn away from Him? Christ told His disciples in a model prayer, give us this day our what? Daily bread. How can Christians who get daily provision from God allow this stuff, kind of stuff to come in their life? How can Christians who God works a great victory in their life and gets them out of trouble and gets them and delivers them from situations they could not handle and then turn their back on Him? How could this happen when we see God working in our lives and God promises He will never leave us or forsake us in Hebrews 13:5 and this happened? Folks, the church is as capable of doing this as Israel was that day in the wilderness. And we have the Word of God. How could this possibly happen? Well, in the New Testament, there's two verses that I want us to kind of consider in way of introduction. The first one's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And that scripture says, therefore we ought to give what? The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I want this message to ring in your hearts today. I want it to ring in your ears. I want it to change your life. I want God's word to change and His truth to change us. And the scripture says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip. We're capable of doing the exact same thing that God's chosen people did. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, in the first couple of verses before that, it talks about all the things that we're supposed to add to our faith. Virtue and knowledge and brotherly kindness and all these things, temperance. And Peter writes in verse 8, he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So how could this possibly happen to Israel? How could this possibly happen to us as Christians today? How could this possibly happen in churches today? You know, we look at the situation around us and we see all these things and we ask ourselves this: how could this happen? Why is this happening to us? Folks, we need to look at the spiritual things.
Right.
And ask ourselves, is this happening to me? So this morning I want to have 4 points about how this happened to them. And then the 5th point, how God feels about it. The first one is, it's kind of like the ice. It's about impatience. You go to the ice, you go to the refrigerator, hit the button, no ice comes out. You go, "What? I want ice and I want it now." And you go, "Wow." You know, we are an impatient people. I tell you what, back 30 years ago, when you had an old landline, people, you might call a week or so, and that was it. But boy, now, think about this. Now you send a text to somebody, you want a response. You want it now. "I texted you. You didn't get it?" And then you send another text. And you send another text. "Did you get it?" "Yeah, I got it. Just didn't need to respond to it." "No, I want a response right now." We get impatient to it. And all these things caused us to get impatient. See, that was the problem. That was the problem. See, Moses, in their minds, delayed his coming. And in verse 1 here, it says that we don't know where he went. We got to do something about this. This is terrible. We're out here in the wilderness. We've lost our leader. Now let's do something about it. You know, there's an old saying that good things come to those who wait. Let me put some spiritual context on this. The first thing is that my Bible tells me that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, who doesn't hold anything back, but there is no shadow or variableness of turning in the book of James. My Bible also tells me this. The psalmist writes, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry." And so when God works in our lives, it's not on our timetable, it's on His. See, God knew what was going on. We're going to find that out here in a minute. He's just testing them. He's testing us. He is saying, if we just wait on the Lord. See, they didn't do that. Moses delayed his coming. We've got to do something. We just can't sit out here wasting away in the wilderness. We've got to do something. See, Moses went up the mountain. Moses would come down out of the mountain. God tells us to go do something. Something's not going to be instantaneous. It's not like potatoes in the box. Okay? Or those grit things. Instant grits? Yeah. Okay. Good things take time. Good things take faith. And the issue is that they didn't believe he was coming back. And we don't know where he is. Remember the disciples? The disciples in a ship, God says, "We're going to get over to the other side." And in the process, they get in a storm and Jesus is asleep and say, "We're going to perish." God told them we're going to get to the other side. It's not going to necessarily be easy. It's not going to be the way you want it necessarily. Folks, we need to let God take care of this. In Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 through 14, it says, I had fainted, or I had just given up. Okay? Unless I had what? Believed to see the goodness of the Lord. See, the only thing they had to do is just wait. And they got impatient, and then they couldn't wait anymore. And folks, be careful of that in your life. That's where things are going to happen. In the land of the living. Yeah, we're going to see God one day. But what are we doing down here today in the land of the living? Verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of what? Good courage. Because God's going to make it happen. And He shall strengthen thy heart. And if you didn't hear the first word, hear this one. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So when you start getting impatient about what God, and God's not moving fast enough, you could do some dumb things. And you could wind up doing in a place that you say, well, how did this happen to me? Oh, please don't be impatient because of unbelief. Oh, please don't be impatient because of a disquieted spirit. See that? We're out here in the desert now. We don't know what's going to happen. Boy, we need something to get us going here. We need a deliverer. They have one. His name was Jehovah. In Psalm 37, verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord. And what? Wait. Not only wait, but wait how? Patiently for Him. And don't worry about stuff. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered. Well, he's getting this and I'm not getting. Who cares? It's what God's got, His plan for you. And His plan for you is probably different than His plan for other people. Except, we all need to be conformed to His image. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers way, because of the men who break it, wicked devices to pass. See, that's what happens if you get impatient, take things in your own hands, you go do something stupid. You do something that's out of God's will. How could this happen? How could this happen? Because they were impatient. How could this happen in your life when you don't wait on God? Secondly, how could this possibly happen? Well, the impatience kind of led to the next thing. And it was indifference. Indifference because they said this. Up! Let's take matters in our own hands. Let's get down to business. Okay? And he said, up, make us gods. See, how soon do they forget God's word? We're in Exodus 32. In Exodus chapter 20, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them. Moses had already been told what God wanted them to do. He's just going up the second time to put it on stone. And see, all the people, see, they were fickle. We talked about fickle people in Galatians. They were fickle. Yep, we see God, we hear God, we see the man of God, everything's fine, we're going to do this. It says here in Exodus 24, verse 3. It says, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said we will do. That didn't last very long, did it? Because we're talking about a short period of time and here they are doing this. How could this possibly happen? They just agree. How could this happen? You're like, I told God that I was going to do this and now I'm doing the same thing again. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. How soon they forget God's word. I'll tell you how it can happen when you forget God's word. I'll tell you how it can happen when you forget God's sacrifice. See, later on, see, after they say this and they say, hey, we're going to listen. God, Moses builds an altar and he makes 12 pillars for each of the tribes as a witness. And then he goes out and he does a sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 24, verses 7 and 8 says, and he took the blood of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. Oh, now they said we will do and now we're going to be obedient to it. But we're really, I really mean it. Really? How soon do they change? How soon do they change? And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning what? All these words. See, how did it happen? They were impatient. How did it happen? They came indifferent to the word of God. They became indifferent to the sacrifice of God. See, Hebrews talks about that. About trotting the underfoot the blood of Christ. How could this happen? Because how soon they forget God's presence. There's that pillar of fire and that cloud of smoke and the Red Sea and all this stuff. And now Mount Sinai is just on smoke and fire. And they hear the voice of thunderings and they cry, ah, we can't hear this. And God says, don't touch the foot of the mountain. Don't let anybody graze on it because it's holy ground. They see it. And then right after they do the sacrifice and say, hey, we're going to hear God's words. We're going to be obedient to it. Look at what happens in verses 9 through 11 in Exodus chapter 24. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70, the elders of Israel. And I want everybody to say the next four words. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles and of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. And also they saw God and did eat and drink. They got impatient. Just a short time after they had heard God's word, after a short time they had this blood of the covenant, after a short time after they saw God in heaven. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Peter and John follow him. And we talked about following about this. And the issue here is they forget God's presence. They're just indifferent to it. Oh, impatience leads to taking things in your own hands. Not following God's word leads to breaking God's word. And it leads to idolatry. See, how could this possibly happen? They wanted it to happen. They wanted idols. It says, these be thy gods, O Israel. See, they were ignoring God's command. They ignored the Ten Commandments. They ignored. And oh, by the way, if you go and you read Exodus, Christ comes back up to, or God comes back up to this thing over and over again. Says, don't make these gods. Don't do this. Don't follow the gods of the land. Don't do all this other stuff. They don't listen. We're hard-headed too, aren't we? They were ignoring God's command. But that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply to me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. If you go to the first one, it says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on what? The right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For life is hid in Christ. And it goes on down here. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. See, if you don't take care of the root in your life, it's going to come back.
That's right.
If you don't take care of the impatience in your life, it's going to come back. If you don't take care of the indifference in your life, it's going to come back. For which things the wrath sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which also ye walked some time when you lived in them. We're not supposed to live in that. We're supposed to be separate, come out from among. We're supposed to be a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation. Christ is supposed to present us as a bride without having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We need to be cleansed by the water of the washing of His Word. We need to have this stuff. Folks, don't let this stuff in your life. It will corrupt you. See, they were ignoring God's command. They were ignoring the consequences. God has said, hey, if you break this law, you're going to die. Oh, well. See, we can't ignore the consequences either. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," or shown, "which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy." See, if you start letting something in, you'll let a whole bunch more in. "Envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past." Wait, I said on the Lord, wait. Do this. "I told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Folks, if your life is like this, and you say you're a Christian, and you can't get victory in your life, and you don't want to follow God, and you're impatient to God, and you're indifferent to God, you better check your salvation.
Amen.
You better check to see if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, "I want sin to become exceedingly sinful to me. I don't want to do it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to focus on it." And if this is your lifestyle, then are you who you say you are? There were a lot of people back then, a lot of Israelites back then, that said this. They said one thing and what? Did another. And so idolatry is when we ignore God's command. We put something in place of God. We put something above God. And that could be your time, or where you are when you could be in God's church, or what you allow your kids to do. Folks, parents, be careful how you model this to your kids.
Right.
"I just don't understand why my kids don't go to church." Did you take them to church when they were kids? Did you go to church? Or did you come up with every excuse possible because you came indifferent to coming to God's house, because you became impatient, you wanted to do other things? You reap what you sow. How could this happen because of their impatience? How could this happen because of their indifference? How could this happen because they allowed idolatry to come into their life? And this leads to insolence. Insolence means to have rude or disrespectful behavior. Rude or disrespectful behavior. And I got a challenge for you this day. Here's Aaron. He goes and he does this. He builds an altar. They offer burnt sacrifices. It says, "Tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah." Here's this golden calf right over here. "Tomorrow we're going to have a feast to Jehovah." We're going to mix the two together. Because we're smart enough, we can coexist all this idolatry and righteousness together. We could be impatient at the same time. We could be indifferent and say, "Oh, how I love Jesus," at the same time. We could have all this stuff at the same time. No. See, this leads to a problem in their worship. And folks, if we're holding sin in our lives and we know we're not obeying God's word, and we come to church and we're one way on Sunday and we're a different way during the week, we're trying to mix the two together. And that won't work. It's a problem with their worship. Let me read you this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils." Not me saying this, God's word.
Right.
This is dealing with meat offered to idols and all that idolatry stuff. It says, "You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the tables of devils." You got to choose.
Right.
The Bible says, you cannot serve what? Two masters. "For you will love one and hate the other, or love the other and hate the first." You cannot serve God and mammon. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the Father is not in you. But we try, keep on trying to do it because we're indifferent. Because we have idolatry in our lives. Because we're impatient with the way God moves in our lives. Maybe He doesn't work in your life because you're not following Him. It leads to a problem with their worship. It leads to a problem with their testimony. They're God's chosen people. And they're out doing the same thing the Egyptians were doing. How soon do they forget? Folks, we're God's elect. And we're saved. And we're the saints. And we go out and we live like the world. It ruins a testimony. Look at what John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It says this. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, everybody say it, we lie and do not the truth. So how's your testimony this morning? Is it truthful or is it a lie? See, if we say that, oh, how I love Jesus, got all this stuff, we're being disrespectful and rude to God. We're being insolent. We're being like little kids. I want it my way. How could this possibly happen? They were impatient. How could this possibly happen? They ignored God's law. How could this possibly happen? They allowed idolatry to come into them. How could this possibly happen? They started mixing the two together. How could this happen today? The same way.
Right.
And if this is in your life, get it out, because here's the problem. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. No revival came when Jonathan Edwards said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And people's lives change. Folks, we need that perspective in our lives today. God doesn't see me. God doesn't care. He doesn't know what I say, what I think. Look at this. This is a great example. In Exodus chapter 7, verses 7 and 10 of 32, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have what? Corrupted themselves. See, if we're not doing things for God, we're corrupting ourselves. That's the way God sees it. The way we should see it too. They have turned aside how?
Quickly.
The same ones that said, we'll do it. We'll be obedient. We have the blood of the covenant here. We have all this stuff here. They just doing this. Quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed therefore and said, listen to this. God knows every word you say. These be thy gods, O Israel, who have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You're not going to pull anything over on God. You're not smarter than God. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Wives, I know your husbands are stubborn, and husbands, I know that your wives are stubborn, but we can't be stubborn with God. And I know our kids are stubborn, but we can't be stubborn with God. And the God of judgment, in verse 10, says, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may what? Consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. And God just says, okay, let's start over. Now here's the neat thing. You can start over. See, Aaron survives this, and he becomes the high priest. The people survive this, but unfortunately they get to the Jordan River and they could get right in the promised land, but because of the problems in the past, they can't accept the promise of God to go in there and defeat the enemy, and they said, we can't do it. Now they wander around for 40 years. See, this thing has to be taken away and removed forever. Not just a one-time thing. But God gives a second chance. Nadab and Abihu, well, they go and they get restored through this. They survive this, but then they go do something stupid and get consumed by God for offering strange fire to God. See, God will restore. God can take out the impatience of your life. God could take out the indifference of your life. God could take out the idolatry out of your life. God could take out the insolence out of your life to prevent God's indignation on your life. So this morning, I have a question. Is this happening to you? Is this happening to you? Is what's going on with Israel happening in your life? It's just that you're not making a golden calf. You're making something else. Folks, we can't have this in our lives.
Right.
We can't have this in our families. We can't have this in our church. We have it in our country, and that's what's messed up with us right now.
That's right.
We have it in some churches, and that's why churches are messed up today. We have it in families, and that's why families are messed up today. We have it in Christians, that's why Christians are messed up today. Because we just can't follow what God tells us to do. Oh, this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know if you die right now, you go to heaven. Accept His sacrifice on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He ought for your forgiveness of your sins. And if you ask Him to forgive your sins and accept Him as Lord of your life, you'll get saved. And you'll have a home in heaven. For those that are saved, are we following Him? Or are we forgetting all the stuff that He's taught us? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to be led by You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.